Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Some Freedom Hour number 31. That's right. 31. I know you're just as excited as I am, because we have broken past the number 30 mark, but I must say, in all fairness, whether consistently or obnoxious, that it is not the true 31st Sam Freedom Hour, because the first two were only 15 minutes. Now, if you've been an avid listener, you'd have known that. But I presume that some of you are new here. So I'm going to grace you with two websites, two web addresses that you'll need in order to keep your, keep your life from getting too dull. And one of those is blogtalkradio.com. /Sam Freedom. That's blogtalkradio.com/Sam Freedom. And that's where you can find the archives of other shows, some of which are pretty freaking amazing. And I say that without any shame or sense of egotism, because they truly are. You know, there's already 10 bazillion people doing political commentary. And I do political commentary every once in a while, but my listenership is not really interested in it. They're interested in kind of just having fun and goofing off and seeing how everybody plays off of everybody. It's a big social experiment, really. It's where you can call up and just shoot the shit about anything in life or the topic of the evening and get poked and prodded and pushed in ways you probably never expected in order to come up sounding 1,000% and a hell of a lot more interesting than you ever thought you were. Or anyone else ever thought you were, for that matter. And it's all going to be recorded for playback, so you can go tell your friends and family about how interesting you sounded because you were on the Sam Freedom Hour. And it so happens that I'm about, 20 minutes late to my show tonight, which has become standard practice over the past few shows. It's a combination of historically being late for things in general, but if you go back and check, you'll see for the first 25 or 26 shows, I was perfectly on time. Except after the Eastern Daylight Savings Time fiasco, Blog Talk Radio has been feeding me back the wrong time of my shows. And to couple that with my computer feeding me back the wrong time, I have to keep resetting it because of Windows doesn't know that what the frig Congress is doing. And I guess maybe a patch just got downloaded recently, so that should be changing. But in any case, website, my MySpace website that you want to get in touch with for some really cool and funny blogs and some good, you know, music clips, and there is political stuff there, there's humorous stuff there, is www.myspace.com/Sam Freedom. That's www.myspace.com/Sam Freedom. Now, for those of you who are new to this show, the last show was about American Idol. It was about Sanjaya. And people are like, why do you even care? And I got to tell you, there's a reason why I care. It's not because I have no life, like most of you. It's because there's something very strange going on there. There's something very unique going on there that is just not obvious to the naked eye. And what it is that this kid Sanjaya, you know, by all rights, he just seems like, you know, a kind of a cute, goofy kid who should be singing karaoke into his mirror in the basement of his house. And the majority of people, my gosh, I mentioned Sanjaya at the dinner table tonight, and it was like a reaction. It was a reaction that could have, like, snapped a fucking tree in half. Everybody was like, oh, he sucks, or that's the kid who's bad. And then I would have to calmly just say to everybody, what do you mean he's bad? He actually carries the tune okay. And he's really entertaining. And he's charming. And I never cared about American Idol much before, but now I kind of want to watch each week so I can just see how the kid does, if he progresses. I don't care if he's the best. I want to see him continually rise above the adversity, rise above the challenge that people are presenting him by half the nation practically saying that this kid sucks all the time. And he comes back every show, dresses up, plays his part, gets his tune going, takes Paula for a twirl, and he has a couple of good, you know, moments in each of his performances, and he holds the tune the rest of it. It's really just kind of fascinating to watch. So I really feel that even though, you know, we probably all of us know that they are plugging for him on voteforthewurst.com and Howard Stern has been promoting him, that this has all sort of kept him in the show this long, even though a lot of us think he doesn't deserve to be there. But it's not a question of deserve. It's a question of American Idol being an opportunity for people who normally wouldn't have the opportunity to live the American dream. It's not like the 10 very best should always be eliminated in the very perfect order. So that's why I said this is a phenomenon going on here, because what you see happening is there's a lot of people rooting for him as a completely separate leg of the American Idol contest. In other words, when you have the final 10, there are like 9 people who all like deserve a shot at the number one slot. But then there's Sanjaya, who you just kind of want to see on every week because you want to just see him tackle whatever task they give him. And he does it gracefully. You know, that's the funny thing. He just does it gracefully. He goes up there, he smiles, and he sings his tune. And it's kind of starting to be amazing. So for those of you who don't know the routine by now, I sort of am like, I just do whatever I kind of want out here. I don't claim to be any kind of a celebrity, although I am, but I don't claim to be. If you can figure that one out, send me an email, let me know. So I don't claim to be kind of a celebrity, even though I am. And I've had radio shows that get between 1,200 and 1,500 or 2,500 hits when I promote them properly, when I show up for them on time. But for those of you who, you know, judge Sanjaya, if you have that kind of a mindset, I'll just have you know that these are more like fun blow-off-steam social experiments. Some of you pound beers down and get drunk and fuck your livers up. Others of you hit the drugs and do Percocets and whatever. Others of you cruise MySpace looking for other people's blogs to voice your opinion on, even though your opinion will never go anywhere and do anything. It just makes you feel good to vent it. So this is what I do. I do the Sam Freedom Hour. And some nights we get like such an incredible, cute little smattering of different kinds of people. Some of who can handle the Sam Freedomness, others who can't. The ones who can't, they always like run over with their tail between their legs and they say stuff like, your show has no structure. It's like, fuck you. Like, what do you mean it has no structure? If you can handle it, stay around. If you can't handle it, leave. So then there's people who are like, you know, well, I got really bored at one point. And it's like, you know what? I am a miracle worker out here, but I can't perform every miracle all the time. Sometimes people have to step up to the plate and come with something interesting. Like Melanie, for instance, who's probably listening. Let me see if she's on the dashboard calling in now. She knows where the action's at. I'm going to see if Melanie's out here right now. My feeling is, nope, she's not. But wait, I'm going to send out a bulletin right now. And I'm going to have people come on to the radio show and watch. I'll send a bulletin out, and probably within, like, I don't know, 3 minutes, there'll be people coming on. That's how fun this is. Let's see. 646-652-4573. Okay. There we go. Now I'm pressing send, like I did on the last show. And like magic, people will show up. Watch. Just like that. Poof. Let's do a countdown, as a matter of fact. It's 11:04, and people are going to start calling in like any minute now, guaranteed. You know why? Because I'm awesome. Yeah, I'm awesome. So in past shows, we've talked about proper lubrication for anal sex, which for some people just can't get over that. Like, they don't like to hear about that. And I can understand that, but for cripe's sake, you know, just get over yourselves. And other shows we've talked about, from the stripper's point of view, what the inside of a strip club looked like. We've talked about military recruitment, the war in Iraq. We've talked about private army called Blackwater, owned by George Bush. We've talked about global warming, and like I said, we've talked about Sanjaya. We've talked about friends who are fucking hypocrites. We have talked about weddings put on by New Age Quakers who demand that you pay some kind of a contribution to the hydrocarbon fund in order to offset the jet fuel that was used to get your plane to their wedding. Yes, folks, I cannot make this up so quickly. Or can I? That's the mystery. Am I making this shit up, or has it really happened? Do I really have a twisted life? I mean, I hitchhiked around the country for 3 years. I figured, you know, I listened to so many, my family owned a chain of convenience stores, and I used to hear everybody. I listened closely. You know, when you, I'm not saying you in particular listening, but in general, when people have a job and they're in touch with the public, they don't listen to what's going on. They don't pay attention. They just, like, can't wait to get out of there or go home and listen to their favorite radio or go have a beer or drink or, you know, flip people off or whatever. They just want to get the fuck out of their work because they hate it so much. But when I was there, I used to listen and pay attention to everybody and listen really closely. And people would come in and they would say stuff like, hey, kid, you know, go do it while you're young. Like I'd hear older people say, you know, get it out of your system. Go do what you want to live your dreams again. So I said, you know what? I'm going to hit the road. I went to Wilderness Survival School, and I studied with America's greatest tracker, in my opinion, Tom Brown Jr., who, if you just go, you know what, you have Google at your arsenal. Don't be lazy. Just go over to Google, type in Tom Brown Jr. or Tom Brown Jr. tracker, and you'll see that he's a prolific wildlife tracker who was the adopted grandson of a chief of a very famous scout from an Apache medicine man from a very famous period of time where Tom became his student for about 10 years, and then when Stalking Wolf died, Tom wandered the wilderness for another 10 more years. And Tom became well-known, even though he likes to live a private life, Tom has been party to tracking the Manson family to their hideout for the FBI. He has found numerous missing children. In fact, Reader's Digest used to just call him the Tracker. And after they did a story on him finding, like, a missing girl, he got, like, all kinds of letters that showed up at his doorstep in a mailbag called, just literally addressed to the Tracker. Like, people didn't even know where to mail it, so they would just send it to the Tracker, like, New Jersey. And the people who were in the post office just figured out who the Tracker was, and they put up, you know, all these, they put a big bag of mail in front of his house one day. So anyways, the reason I'm saying that is because when I went to the tracker school, and I learned how to track animals. And when I first got there, they said, we're going to show you how to – he says, by the end of this course, you're going to be able to track a mouse across a gravel path. Now, gravel, like chunks of stone, okay? How do you see a mouse's tracks across a gravel path? But I couldn't wait till the end of the week, just like some of you can't wait to get the hell out of work and get home. And by the end of the week, I can't really explain exactly how it was done, but he had basically brought our awareness from, like, the huge down to the very tiny. He just helped hone our awareness down to a fine point through various exercises during the week. We didn't realize that was what was happening, but while we were working with stones and working with fire and building bow drills and, you know, making throwing hunting tools and stuff like that, our awareness was getting, like, more and more focused and finely tuned. He brought us down a trail at the end of the week, putting popsicle sticks down on the ground. And these popsicle sticks had little writings on them. He would write, like, left front fox. And he'd put the sharpened popsicle stick right at the rear of the fox print, and we would step back and try and see it, and it was, like, amazing. It was there. Finally, we got down to the end of the path, and by that we were super attentive, and bang, we just saw it bright as day, mouse tracks going across friggin' crushed stone. And I don't mean powder crushed stone. I mean, you know, chunks of rocks. In any case, those skills, I never needed to track any, you know, animals on the road and stuff like that, but it gave me a sense of confidence that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And I hitchhiked. I did not hitchhike through New York. I mean, I wasn't a combat-trained veteran. I was just a wilderness-trained guy. So I took a bus part of the way through New York, and then I went and met a friend. I hitchhiked to a rainbow gathering, actually, out in Colorado. And then eventually went around the country. I met some people that I had made friends with the year before. Went down to New Orleans, stayed there for a couple weeks, came back through Kansas, you know, just playing around the country for about three, on and off for like 2 or 3 months. And I did that stuff because, you know, people would say to me, do whatever you can while you're young. So I did. And it's created like a lot of stories and impressions for me, not only to just get out like here on the radio show and talk about, but that help me to help others come out of their shell or to help make others' stories more interesting or more fruitful. Like if somebody, you know, went to Boy Scout camp, I've never been a Boy Scout, but I can certainly talk about tracking. I can talk about anything people would probably do at Boy Scout school. And I can help them bring out more of the fineness of their stories. just like you. That's what I tell people on my last show. I said, call in. And, I mean, I don't care. I really don't care if you call in or not, in a sense that I can do a whole radio show by myself and people will listen to it on my blogs or not. It's more, like I said, just R&R. But when people do call in, it depends. Like I was talking before, Melanie calls in. And Melanie, you know, she's 19 years old. She's going to college. And at her age, I mean, you know, I guess if somebody was so inclined, they could become like a young Republican or a young, you know, whatever the Democrats are called these days, the loony left or something. She could become one of those and go study politics and come talk politics. But she's studying something else. And she's still opting to kind of be girlish. So she comes on the show, and we giggle, and we goof around, and I flesh the fact out of her that sometimes she wakes up with a trazodone hangover and drives to work that way. And then it dawned on me how many people must be driving around, A, hanging over from some drug they took before they went to sleep last night, B, not having had their coffee yet, C, their windshield iced over, not completely unfrosted, D, their heater probably not turned up. If you're in a temperate zone like Texas, you don't even really concerned about two of these things. But in general, you're driving on the road in the morning with a bunch of people who are like whacked out of their mind, and when you think about it, that's kind of like we're oblivious to it. We're just driving around like at work and just in our own little world, you know, and everybody's just like on some drug or still not fully awake or rushing to get somewhere. And when you stop and think about that, it's a hazardous world out there. And I'm a work at home kind of guy, so I don't really have to worry about that stuff every day. You know, I wake up in the morning and everybody's, like, going to work, and all the cars are going by at, like, you know, 8, 9 in the morning. And, you know, I mosey around, then I go for a walk around 10-ish, get home, do some work from 11 to 12, 30-ish, go out for lunch. You know, I just kind of meander through the day. But, I mean, it didn't really dawn on me how much I had, like, stepped out of that daily grind until one day before Thanksgiving. And usually, like, on Thanksgiving evening, I'll go to, like, the supermarket, like, as late as possible. Not intentionally, but that's the time I just figure on going down there because I'm busy during the day, and at the last minute, I'm like, bang, gonna head down to the supermarket and get some stuff to help make a dish for tomorrow's dinner. But the day before the last Thanksgiving, I went down quite early in the evening, and it was like a friggin' war zone. And I sat there going to myself, wow, I haven't been out at this time supermarket shopping in ages. And there I am going down the aisles. And it's not like, I'm not kidding around. You probably know this. I'm probably telling you something you experience like every week. But for me, it was like being in unsupervised Disney World. There were kids hanging off of carriages, running around, smashing into me. I had to like slam on my brakes. And I'm not used to that because, like, being a typical bachelor, I'll go in thinking I'm just going to pick up three things, you know, like I can hold them in my arm, you know. But then I walk by, like, some meat, and it's on sale, so I'm like, okay, and I take, like, 5 pounds of meat and throw it in the crook of my left arm. And then I'm continuing down, it's like, oh, chicken's on sale, so I got to throw, like, 10-pound thing of chicken on my left arm. So before I know it, my left arm is, like, holding the equivalent of 3 watermelons, except they're not round, so I can actually balance it, but it's like my arm's falling off. And I think, okay, you know, I'm not, it's like, to me, it's defeat if I have to go back and get a carriage, and I know you know exactly what I mean. It's defeat. It's like, if I have to go walk all the way back to the carriages with that 10 pounds of, like, meat on my arms, I feel like there's somebody, like, watching on a camera somewhere that went, ha-ha-ha-ha, sucker, you could have taken a carriage when you came in the door, but, like, a fool every time you walk in thinking you're macho. In any case, I was fortunate because there was a guy who came out from the meat counter with a carriage. And I said to him, excuse, he was an old guy. He was kind of like an old guy from like Italy who had like a limp. And I said, hey, excuse me a second. I said, are you going to be taking that back to the front? Because I could use it. And he looked at me a second like he had like a tiny little debate going on in his head. And it wasn't like an evil person like thinking, I don't really want to give it to him. It was a guy who just, he was just really shocked for a moment. And he stopped and the goodness overcame him. His, like, Italian immigrant goodness overcame him. And he said, no, you take it. You take it. I said, no, seriously, I can go back and get another one because he had kind of a limp. And he goes, no, that's all right. I'll go get one. I said, man, you know what? Thank you so much. I put my stuff in the carriage. And, you know, because of that guy, I was traveling by some other stuff, like some shelving and like a couple of like, I don't know, big items. And I threw them in the carriage, and they amounted to like another like $48 to $50. And I come from a business family, so I say to myself, I cannot let this guy go unrewarded. He did a great customer service move, and I ended up spending another $50 because of it. As macho as I wasn't going to be loading my arms up with, like, file cabinets and shelving on the way out just because it was on sale. So I continued on through the store. When I got to the very end, before I got to the very end, you know, I'm telling you, kids running around, causing me to have to screech my carriage to a halt, aisles full of people. You know, at nighttime, about 11:30 at night, if the place is open till midnight, you look down, all the aisles are, like, empty, except maybe there's, like, a hot babe in one of them. You're like, oh, sure, I could use some coffee, you know, coffee basket liners right now. And you'd get on that aisle just to, like, be with the hottie. So it was earlier in the day, and every aisle I looked down was like a sea of people just who just had no clue that each other was in the vicinity. Like, they were like bumper cars with blinders on. So I didn't want to go down each aisle, and I'm sort of torn between myself because a lot of the good, silly, stupid, bad-for-your-health crap is in the middle aisles. So a part of you does want to go down them. The other part of you is like, you know what, motherfuckers, I'm glad I'm not going down there. Who the hell needs fluff or nutter right now? I came here to get some noodles and shit, for Thanksgiving. I don't need all that crap. So I continued around the edges and eventually made it up to the front. And after I paid for my stuff, I said to the manager, I told him about that guy who gave me the carriage. And I said, did these guys, did these guys get any reward for being, if not, you know, for being acknowledged for having done a good job? And he says, yeah, we give them a $5 gift card that they can spend in the store. And I said, oh, cool. Well, that's nice. Well, I told him who he was. Come back in next time around. Guy's name was Mario. I see Mario in the bakery. Now, the bakery was empty because they do all their cooking, like, in the morning, and they're usually done by, like, early morning. They can start at probably 5 in the morning and be done by, like, 10 o'clock. So I see Mario in the bakery, and even though it's empty, what's he doing? He's sweeping. The place, the floor was as clean as could be. Most people look at that floor and go, why am I going to sweep? Mario couldn't stand still. He's sweeping. I call him over. I say, hey, question for you. I didn't know his name at the time. I said, what's your name? He told me. I said, Mario, did they ever give you that $5 gift card? He goes, oh, no. He goes, I don't care. I got, like, 3 houses. I got, like, 10 kids, 20 grandchildren. I invest all right. I'm a living American dream. I did a gooder for myself. That's all right. I thought it was just the coolest thing that I went up to do the right thing, and the friggin' corporation couldn't do the right thing. They didn't give the guy what he deserved. But the guy, you know, here he is, a kind guy, so he had the benefit of his own humility, and he also had the benefit of investing properly over the years. And so, you know, even though there's craziness on going out to supermarket shopping at, like, 5:30 or 6 o'clock when, like, every other single person does it. And I don't know why they do. Like, why can't people put it off for a couple hours and go when it's quieter? But in any case, after, like, struggling through all of that, there was, like, this really cool diamond in the rough. There was, like, this gem in the midst of all that cacophony. That's right, you'll only hear cacophony on the Sam Freedom Hour, folks. C-A-C-A-P-H-O-N-Y, and it means lots of noise, lots of noises. So I struggled through that crazy post-holiday evening, pre-holiday evening. I got to meet a great guy and learn some good lessons. And let's see if we can track back now. The reason I even brought that up was because I was saying I'm a work-at-home kind of guy. So when I wake up in the morning when everybody else is going to work, you guys are all fighting traffic full of people just like yourself who are hungover on the previous night's drugs and booze, and people who are hardly awake. Okay, we talked about that. And let's see if we can track back. We talked about that because we're talking about how Melanie calls the show all the time. And just as an example, she can turn out to be a very interesting person herself, even if she calls up with nothing to say. Because part of the Sam Freedom phenomenon is being able to suck the marrow out of life. And if you happen to be in front of me, well, then you're part of life, and I'm going to suck the marrow out of you. 646-652-4573. We've got about another 10 minutes for me to suck the marrow out of you. That's right. I know that probably feels a little uncomfortable to hear, because anybody saying they're going to suck anything out of you is just probably pretty frightening, especially if you're the kind of person who watches and is a little bit frightened of horror films. Which, speaking of horror films, we can track all the way back to Sanjaya. This, Sanjaya is not a horror show. Sanjaya is a kid with great potential. He needs care. He needs it developed. He needs somebody who will take the time to do that for him. And I think if you tune into American Idol next Tuesday night, you will be pleasantly surprised, because the kid really does get better and better every week, and he gets more and more entertaining every week. And that goes in sharp contrast to the blogs I just wrote about him, which said that his being up there in the winning was just plain wrong. So, my bad, but at least I can admit it, and we can have fun laughing about it. And that, my friends, concludes Sam Freedom Hour number 31. Come hell or high water, monologue, dialogue, cacophony, you'll find it here. But anyways, the shows are Tuesdays and Friday nights at 10:30 p.m. The phone number for calling in is 646-652-4573. And the blogtalkradio.com/Sam Freedom will get you to the archives of past shows, which some of which are hilarious. And myspace.com/Sam Freedom will get you to my MySpace, where you can read some cool blogs. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and have a good night.